Up next on Coast to Coast, Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us, an expert on reincarnation, time travel, past lives, and psychic attacks. And we'll get into that with Bruce in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Our good friend is back, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and he'll be giving you a toll-free number in a second as well to track some of the many things he has done, including writing several books, including Exploring the Fifth Dimension, Soul Healing, Time Travelers from Our Future. We just taped with Dr. Bruce a segment on Beyond Belief, so make sure you go ahead and watch that too. Bruce, welcome back to the program. Happy holidays to you, my friend.
Thank you, George, a.k.a. Dexter Monterey. I wish you, your family, and your entire audience internationally happy holidays. And thank you for your kind introduction and the privilege to reincarnate again on Coast to Coast. Tonight, we're going to be discussing a very significant issue. This time of the year, holiday depression is a big issue.
Oh, it's huge.
As you know that, every year we call that seasonal affective disorder, technically, in psychiatry. And so psychic attacks and how to use hypnosis for what I call psychic self-defense to help prevent people from having these attacks, which of course are things like depression, and we'll go into the details. And they can also use this for other aspects of their life other than just holiday depression. But psychic attacks are around. So let me just give you a quick statistic first before we go into this. When you look at all the psychic attacks that are around, 90% are done by normal everyday occurrences, annoying commercials, annoying people, energy vampires. We'll go into that too. Just the quote bad luck people have, which is really negative energy. 7% are due to poltergeists, which are what people would call ghosts. Okay, 3% are due to black magic attacks, and less than 0.001% are due to actual demonic attacks, like you've seen on The Exorcist. So most of psychic attacks are due to normal, everyday occurrences. So let's define what a psychic attack is.
Okay,
A psychic attack is defined as an attack on your soul or subconscious mind by invisible forces, which represent a negative energy and originate from what we call the lower astral plane, part of the fifth dimension. If you have holes in your auric field that surround your physical body, this is part of your spiritual body or your astral body, for example, then you're going to be vulnerable to have these negative energies enter into your auric sphere, which means you're going to have problems. There are techniques, as I work with my patients, I deal with what I call higher chakras link and various forms of protection, which we'll describe a little bit tonight. Not just the white light protection, that's fine for simple things, but when you've got a heavy attack going on, you got entities after you, you would call them the shadow people, we call them the lower astral.
And I think, Bruce, of all the many things that you and I have talked about over the years, I think this topic is probably one of the most important because people are inundated by this.
Well, when I work with my patients, all my patients, regardless of what the issue is, whether they want to stop smoking, lose weight, studying concentration, depression, anxiety, you name it, whatever the issues are, the first thing I do is psychic self-defense. And we'll show you how this works because everybody is exposed to psychic attack. The question is, are you vulnerable? If you're not, then you win because the psychic attackers, if they fail on a psychic attack, they get the kajibis beaten out of them on the lower astral plane by their supervisors. So if you're protected, you don't have to worry about it. That's why one of my books is called Protected by the Light, you see, to illustrate the details of the psychic self-defense and the six-stage plan we're going to discuss. But basically dealing with this, what you're dealing with here is the idea of psychic attacks are around, they're there, they're real, there's no games involved, and most conventional medicine and psychiatry cannot treat them. So what are some of the characteristics of a psychic attack? You can have things such as loss of appetite, sexual impotency, fevers of unknown origin, even in cold weather. You can have convulsions, rigidity of the arms and legs, a general dullness of the mind and senses. Because I live in L.A., sometimes it's hard to differentiate that from just normal behavior. Okay, an unnatural yellowness of the skin that's not related to hepatitis. You can see, now this is a biggie here, seeing silhouettes that quickly disappear. You ever notice how some people, they just look around and through the periphery of their eye,
you see a flash of something.
Right, it's purely black. It's blacker than black. That is a lower astral entity.
For less than a second.
Right, and that's what you would call the shadow people. It's the same thing.
That's right.
You can hear a vast array of unusual sounds. You can receive telepathic communication instructing you not to go out and eat vegetables, but to go out and jump off a bridge, okay? You know, you notice how these telepathic signals from psychic attackers are never for your best interests. And a string of bad luck, for example. You know, if you look at your life and say that, well, five or six or seven things negatively happen to you in a typical month, okay, that's fine. That's your baseline. But now you have like 35 happen the next month. That's a psychic
attack. Yeah, I would even say seven's a lot.
Seven is a metaphysical number. Okay, so remember now, most of these psychic attacks begin on the astral plane, the lower astral plane, during our dream or REM cycle when you're actually out of the body. So, for example, if you don't use the techniques that I recommend, and many of my colleagues do too, to protect yourself before going to bed at night, you're going to leave through the third chakra, which is the solar plexus or belly button area. Your soul will leave there every night as it does going out of the body, and the only place you can go to is the lower astral plane. So you're in a bad neighborhood, and you're in deep voodoo, as we say. Now, there are many physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual forces acting in conjunctions with these sounds, colors, odors, and other natural phenomena on the earth plane or planet in our universe to produce a barrage of this negativity. And there are people who act as we call energy vampires, which we'll go into in a little while to describe who they are. The point is, the good news here is that these negativities that I'm describing are all preventable. Once you seal the auric field, you know, in my field, in my work, I developed a technique many years ago called the superconscious mind tap, which is a way to train a patient to connect their higher, their subconscious or soul or subconscious mind, which is always compromised, to the perfect counterpart, which we call the superconscious mind, and most of the literature shows it as the higher self. It's the same thing, which is perfect energy and originates from the God energy complex. And if you make that connection, you can raise the quality of your soul's energy like an energy immune system to a level above issues that you were previously vulnerable to, and that's a form of psychic attack. You know, in ancient times, if you look at the evolution of things that society has done to prevent psychic attack, think of the wedding veil. That was designed to prevent against the evil eye. Think of a woman wearing a cameo or a charm bracelet. These were all done during the Middle Ages, Dark Ages, all throughout European history to prevent psychic attack.
Did they work?
Well, in certain cases, yes. Mostly, no. Because if they did work, we wouldn't have all the psychic attack we have today. You know, it's the number one issue. In my practice, people say, what's the number one issue? Is it losing weight? Is it depression? It's psychic attack. And then you go through the subsystems, the subsets behind that. But psychic attack, by far, is the numero uno of the issues that our universe presents us with. So this is what we call the definition of psychic attack. Now, I'd like to discuss just for a moment or two the various energy vampires that are around and see if you and your listeners can relate to it. There are five energy vampires around. One of them is called the robotic type. This is a person who is like, their outer world is perfect, their inner world is denied, they're like Mr. Perfect, they could be a CEO of a corporation, they could be a TV host, they could be a politician, they could be anything, but they're really very superficial. They're sort of like a Universal Studios facade. There's no detailed umph to them. They never attain satisfaction from life. They come across as a blank. They function on automatic pilot. They never complain about the world, though, but they give you this impression that everything is cool. But in reality, it's not. The ethereal type is the one that is in past lives, they were most likely tortured to death for their metaphysical beliefs. They don't want to contact others. They're like in a shell. They're very introverted. They leave their body a lot during the day. And the withdrawal and aggression are very common. It's like people, you make a luncheon date with them and they never show up and they never call. And it's not because they're being nasty. It's just because it's like, it didn't work for me, as they say in Los Angeles. Okay. The insecure type is the third type, which is nurturance is the key. In many incarnations, they were simply not enough food to go around. So these people were starving to death. So they're very often overweight now in the current life. They're the kind of people that engage you in long, boring conversations. They speak very softly, so you have to ask them, could you speak up a little bit, you know, very insecure. They come across as helpless. They insist that you do things for them. No matter what you do for them, if, for example, you're having a conversation, they'll always say, yes, but. There's always a rationalization why they won't do that. They also cannot maintain eye contact with you, which is another sign of insecurities. And then the fourth one is the paranoid type, and this is a nasty one. This is really nasty. This is like a warrior-type behavior. In past life, they were probably soldiers, always trying to in battle, and today they're still fighting battles that they haven't fought in the past or haven't won. Everybody's an enemy to them. They're especially fearful and distrustful of members of the opposite sex, interestingly enough. Aggression is, of course, the bottom line to them. They're very seductive. They're incapable of long-term relationships, but they attract the members of the opposite sex because they're usually very successful and very dynamic and very sociable. They have a good vocabulary, very verbal, and they know how to manipulate people.
Are they bullies?
Yes, they can be, but they tend to, they're sort of like a used car salesman approach, you know, aggressive rather than assertive, you see. They often insist that you agree with their often distorted view of the world. They want you to argue with them, but they also want to put you down, okay? And so the way to deal with them is to lower and soften your voice and to change the topic quickly. Now, the last one is called the passive-aggressive. This is a type that is, they want to do something, but they don't. In several past lives, they experienced being controlled and trapped in situations, prevented from being able to express themselves, maybe in a dungeon, like in a castle kind of thing. They could have been slaves or prisoners, victimized by religion or governments. Fear is a big issue with them, of course. They lack autonomy, and this individual makes demands but resists the input at the same time. They're constantly requesting your advice, but they'll never follow through. And they're doing it in an aggressive way of not following through. So this is the energy vampire. Now, the two most common energy vampires out there for the audience is, number one, is mother-daughter. Okay? Number two, husband and wife.
Hmm.
These are people who pick each other apart like a Thanksgiving turkey. And we just had Thanksgiving.
That's right.
So here's an example of an energy vampire mother-daughter. I work with this woman, a woman, I'll call her Joanna, was a classic stage mother to her 14-year-old daughter. I call her Charlene. Charlene was a model and acted in commercials. She hated the business, so to speak, in L.A. here. She just wanted to be a normal teenager. But Joanna was, oh boy, she was a stage mother. So she forced her and pressured her and cajoled her into doing all these things. Charlene's every activity and movement was controlled by her mother, exercise, diet, friends, hobbies. There was never a free choice. I eventually worked with Charlene, and nothing was medically wrong with Charlene, which, by the way, modern medicine cannot treat psychic attack, by the way. So what happened was she became anorexic. She had anorexia nervosa. Joanna did not like me at all for my treatment of Charlene because I empowered her, and Charlene was able to confront her mother. And she was able to, she still liked the modeling, but she didn't like the commercials.
Right.
And
right.
She did that for several years, and this was years ago, and then she went on to college, and, you know, but the mother, of course, the Charlene was very grateful, and so was her father, but the mother was not exactly on my Christmas card list, and nor was I on hers. But my goal was the patient, not the mother. So this is called the stage mother effect. You get that not just in Los Angeles here, as you know, but you also get that all around the country. People push their daughters or sons into medicine, law, or whatever, because they want to do that, or maybe because they are that. And this is an example of an energy vampire. Of course, the husband-wife is the other classic one. Another example of psychic attack, which your listeners should be able to relate to, is something called the hands in the night syndrome.
What is that?
This is interesting. This is reported all over the world, by the way, so it's not just me and a few of my colleagues. Somebody goes to sleep at night, and they're probably thinking something very negative. Maybe they had an argument, or maybe they're worried about something,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they watched a bad movie, you know, a horror film or something. So what happens, they wake up in the middle of the night, and there are these fifth-dimensional hands trying to strangle them.
Oh, literally.
Now, they're on the lower astral plane when they do that, because they're actually, it's called a false awakening. They actually wake up in the lower astral plane rather than the earth plane.
Is this different from the old tag syndrome?
Well, that is one of the names that is reported.
And this
goes back to biblical times, as you know. Remember the old Lilith from the Bible? You know, Adam's first wife, supposedly, you know? And then he married the trophy wife, Eve, you know?
Smart move.
And she got her revenge, too. So some people feel like a gargoyle is involved, they just have these really weird hands. Now, the hands can't hurt you. They can just scare you and cause you anxiety, but they don't. You're not going to physically harm yourself. A psychic attack will never kill you. It will just cause you to be anxious. So here's an example of what I call the little old lady and the a very dear, sweet woman from New England I worked with years ago. This is a true story of a woman. She was an elderly patient. She came to me several years ago, just a week before Christmas, reporting a psychic attack. She would wake up every night at 3 a.m. That is the most common time for entity attacks. So It's also a demonic mentality, the opposite of 3 p.m. when Christ died on the cross.
Right,
you see that
right.
That, you know, it's like
3:33 or something like
like around 3 a.m. She would see this hideous gargoyle with glaring green eyes at the foot of her bed. Now, this gets heavy now. I began working with her with psychic protection and superconscious mind taps in my sixth-step plan for psychic self-defense. And then what happened was that I told her that, you know, when you have this psychic attack, if you're going to go on the lower astral plane, all you have to do to remove yourself from that experience is to wiggle a finger or your nose, any part of your body, and you'll return back to the earth plane. And she said, okay, doctor, I don't know if I can do that because I'm really scared when this happens. And I said, just try. You've got nothing to lose. So now it's Christmas Eve now. And then she has the same dream which is a fifth-dimensional experience with this gargoyle-like entity slowly creeping up her body, inch by inch, placing its scaly long fingers around her throat, okay, and beginning to strangle her. She remembered my technique or my recommendation. She wiggled her fingers of her pinky, of her left hand. And by the way, just before she did this, the bed was now lifting off the ground by about 6 inches.
In her mind or for
no,
real?
In reality. At least there was a lot of noise, supposedly, okay? And it was tipping to the left and right, and she was now, she had now gone back to the earth plane by wiggling her finger, but the bed was literally off the ground. So finally, she said, oh, my higher self, oh, Jesus, help me. And she just kind of prayed for a moment, and then the bed settled down to the ground. The gargoyle disappeared. She was now on the earth plane, and that was the last time she had an experience with this gargoyle or any other psychic attack from any negative entity. So it worked with her, and she was a very sweet woman, and I was concerned that, you know, at her age, she was like in her 80s, that this could have left her to leave the earth plane, period. So this is an example of hands in the night syndrome or the old hag syndrome, and it's reported worldwide. So this is an example of what of how common psychic attacks are. Every civilization reports psychic attacks. They talk about some of them demonic attacks. They talk about the various things. So what I'm reporting about is not just America, not just California, but all over the world. And the problem is society laughs at this. If you talk about this to a physician, a psychiatrist, other than me, you're going to get people saying, look, you know, what are you drinking? What are you smoking? You know, they're going to dissuade you from this. They're going to say it's your imagination. They're going to come up with all the rationalization.
Or you're nuts, right?
Well, yeah, they're going to say that, you know, it depends. And if you have an extreme example like that, they probably would. But if you just have bad luck, they're going to say, look, you know, feces happens, you know. They're going to try to be politically correct about it. But in reality, it's psychic attack. So psychic attack is a real issue, and now there are ways in which you can get psychic attack other than just the normal ways, which is the normal everyday occurrence.
And do you always know you're under attack?
Well, if you don't have the background, you won't. You just think
something's wrong.
Bad luck, and that you're just on the short end of the stick, and
right.
Think that, you know, this is your life, and people get depressed because of it. But you can also get a psychic attack indirectly. You can get a psychic attack by having a blood transfusion, having an organ transplant,
oh my God,
undergoing a beating or a rape for a woman, car accidents, any kind of traumatic episode, a life-endangering episode. We call these brush with deaths in the car accidents and others. In other words, somebody psychically attacked and they go to a hospital and they give their blood to somebody else or an organ, a heart transplant or a liver or kidney. Or
and whatever. You pass that on.
You pass that on. And actually, there was a book written about it by one of my colleagues called The L Code. L stands for love. And he talks about how people have actually transplants from a heart transplant. A gentleman was from Chicago. He was a real...
Hold on for a second, Bruce. We're already at the bottom, but we're coming right back. And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Again, his website is his name, drbrucegoldberg.com. And, Doctor, you always have a toll-free number available for our listeners, too, don't you?
Also, I have an offer, too. If your listeners order my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension... which you were kind enough to review. You said it's...
it is.
It's, you said, Dr. Goldberg guides you into a world beyond your wildest expectations. Highly recommended. George Norby, Coast to Coast AM. If they order my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, from my site, or they call my toll-free number, which is 1-800-KARMA-4U, K-A-R-M-A, the number 4, the letter U, which is 1-800-527-6248, and you mention the show, you will get, if you pay for the book, then you get a free CD, which is called Fifth Dimensional Travel, which will guide you into the fifth dimension, also allow you to maximize psychic protection techniques, and do all the things we're discussing tonight. Then you become an ultra-terrestrial by exploring the fifth dimension. Now, that offer is not good with any bookstore or anything you do. It's only good through my site. Or calling my office.
Or the number.
And the CD, of course, is retails more than the book. Okay, it's also a good Christmas present since we're in holiday time now. It's not a bad idea here for that. I'm getting a lot of emails from people. I always do about they want to know whether any of my books are available on audio. And yes, Amazon Audible does carry 18 of my titles.
Oh, really? That's great.
Yeah, they carry 18 of my titles on Audible books. And those people that don't want to come to Los Angeles and still want to see me, they can always do sessions by Skype or by computer or FaceTime, and we can do sessions. I do them all over the world, and almost all my patients are seen by computer anyway. So
technology is amazing.
Now, I'd like to discuss some of the causes of psychic attack, and we're going to
deal with a little bit. And let me ask you one quick question.
Yeah, sure.
Of every 10 people that are out there,
mm-hmm.
how many, what percent do you say they've come under some psychic attack?
11. Okay.
Really?
Everybody, yes. It's
wow.
a question of degree. The only people that would not be experiencing psychic attack are people that are so spiritually evolved, they're almost like a Buddha, then the information or the energy attack would bounce off them. See, if somebody's attacking you and you're protected, it's called a shock and return. That means that there's like an electrical shock that comes back to the person who's attacking you, and they have zero incentive to keep on doing it. But everybody's under psychic attack. It's just a question of how they resist, just like everybody's exposed to viruses. Not everybody has a cold right now because their immune system, with most people, resists the cold. You see, so it's the same. It's an energy form of an immune system. Think of it that way. By the way, also, when I give these characteristics of psychic attack, I'm always assuming you're eliminating the medical factors. If you've got organic or medical
right,
factors.
Right, which you always have to check.
Right, you always have to check. You get blood tests, and you can get, you know, lab tests done. And then if they come back negative, which they do in psychic attack, then it's a psychic attack. But remember, medicine can't treat psychic attacks, so they're going to say, just learn to live with it, which is an expression I hate when I hear that, you know. Okay, so let's talk about the causes of psychic attack. Fear, anger, revenge, jealousy, lust, greed, hatred, insecure behavior, accidentally disturbing an unseen force, like a Ouija board. Folks, never use a Ouija board. Remember the show we did in studio, George?
Yep, and we pulled it.
Okay.
We pulled it.
You pulled it, okay. Like a canceling a TV series, okay. Seances are also terrible because most of the people who run those things have no idea what psychic protection is, and they expose you to lower astrals. I want to deal with, before we deal with something called subpersonalities and possession techniques, I want to talk about the actual six-step plan for psychic self-defense.
Self-defense.
The details of this is in my Protected by the Light book for your listeners. Okay, so this is the six-step plan. Physical preparation. Get plenty of rest. Diet and exercise. Just remember, your mother, when you were growing up, she was right, okay? You know, when she gave you advice about what to eat and what
That's
not to
right.
do, okay?
Moms always knew best.
Emotional cleansing is number three. That would be avoiding energy vampires, okay? Try to keep your life as positive as possible, and whenever you're in a situation where things can go positive or negative, think on the positive. You might lose, but you're going to lose a lot more if you program everything with negativity. The fourth level is called energy stabilization. This is my technique called the Higher Chakras Link, which is part of my Spiritual Growth Experience CD album, which goes into psychic self-defense in detail. You're balancing the higher chakras, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown, or the fourth through the seventh chakras. Those are the higher chakras that maximize psychic protection. Energy cleansing, of course, is number five, and that would be the superconscious mind tap, where I am training a patient's subconscious mind to connect with the higher self, or the perfect counterpart, or the superconscious mind, which comes from the God energy complex, which is perfect and creative, by the way. And the last level is called spirit guide contact. And we're going to talk a little bit in just a little while about how to separate the good guides from the bad ones. If you have an entity connection, which you can, in my program I just described, the Spiritual Growth Experience CD album, the last title is Spirit Guide Contact. With my stuff, you're not going to have to worry about it, but there are people that use other techniques to contact spirit guides. We'll differentiate the good ones from the lower astrals.
Do most people know they're under psychic attack?
Well, they don't know the definition of it. They just think, you know, life sucks and then you die, or bad luck, or, you know, they got divorced three times or whatever. They don't understand the concept because society does not mention psychic attack. I was in New York City years ago promoting my Protected by the Light book, and this was on the Fox affiliate, And the host said to me, she goes, I know you've, I've known you for several years. Do me a favor. Don't talk about demonic attacks. Don't talk about black magic. Just kind of politically correct as you describe what negative energy is. You see, they don't want to deal with that. It's just they consider it to be too weird.
Too taboo. Huh?
And they figure that their advertisers are going to pull that, which is not true either, by the way. Those are the examples of the six-step plan. Okay, physical prep, diet exercise, emotional cleansing, energy stabilization, energy cleansing, and then the spirit guide contact. So let's talk about the fun part here. This is called the possession. There are three types of possession techniques or types. One is called a pseudo-obsession. This is when a past life personality of yours can attach to your aura and cause major problems. And I'll give you a case history in a moment when I finish up the classification here. It can also lead to anorexia, bulimia, migraines, phantom pain syndromes, etc. The second type is obsessions, which are actually ghosts. Obsession, they do not need a permission to temporarily possess you. A ghost can take over the body if you're not protected. It's not going to take it over forever, but they can play games. Okay, and they can do it without your permission. The worst one is the one you hear about, like on The Exorcist, the possession, the demonic possession. You do need to give them permission for that. They just can't do it and take over. And there are very few cases around the world. Yes, The Exorcist case was real, and there are several others. You talk to priests that do this, you know, but there are very smidgen, so to speak, of real demonic possession cases around the world. Now, let's talk about a detail of a subpersonality. This is the fun part. Because you know I deal with regression and progression with my hypnotic techniques. A subpersonality is an attached entity that negatively affects our behavior. It may be a remnant of their past life, history, and personality, or it may be the energy of another soul. In other words, it's a possession technique of somebody that's not you. The result of this subpersonality is a Jekyll Hyde kind of personality. In other words, if somebody is doing something completely out of their ordinary behavior, I mean night and day, 180 degrees, you're looking at psychic attack, and you're looking at a significant one. So let me give you a case history of a subpersonality. I'll call this woman Marcia, not her real name. She's a very good Christian woman, very religious, lives in the East Coast. But lately she goes to church every Sunday, never says curse words, you know, everything is squeaky clean. Okay, and she's engaged to be married to Hal, her fiancé, and he's also as equally moral ethical code-based as she is. Lately, though, she's been exhibiting rather bizarre behavior. She's blasphemous towards the church, which is like a no-no with her.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
She acts like a prostitute with strange men, which is also a no-no. She's having nightmares about being murdered on a tropical island. Now, that's very relevant. So I did the regression with her. They flew, her and her fiancé flew to Los Angeles from the East Coast. In a past life in Martinique, which is a French island, okay, in the 1700s, she was a young girl named Jacqueline who was studying in a convent to be a nun, which would explain her religious conversion in this life, okay? One night, a drunken sailor rapes her. She was comforted by the priest, but decided to run away from the convent. She ended up in the brothel and unfortunately began working as a prostitute. The owner of the brothel was obsessed with her, beat her, and she was murdered by him. The owner of the brothel reincarnated as a man in her current life who was trying to break up her marriage and trying to harass her now. Thank goodness I was able to work with her and to release the Jacqueline entity or the subpersonality by giving her a condo in the fifth dimension. We call these the techniques of just removing the entity by dealing it from the actual consciousness itself. And she was able to they got married to Hal, and several years later they've had two children.
And she's okay.
And this is a happy ending. So this is an example of the subpersonality, however. So these cases are not they're unusual, but they're not that rare. One case that occurred in Europe, which I thought was kind of cute, it was another example of pseudo-obsession. This involved one of my patients. She was on vacation in Germany, and she had planned to travel to Belgium but was delayed for 24 hours because of the weather or some circumstance. To pass the time, she went to a castle that was converted into a museum just to kill time for the day, because she wasn't leaving till the following day. While in this castle, she stopped in front of a portrait of one of the inhabitants of this structure during the Middle Ages. She was literally frozen in place. She couldn't move a muscle during this time. 45 minutes went by. She relived the past life of this woman, and this was called a spontaneous past life regression, which lasted about 45 minutes. When she returned home, this information was corroborated. In other words, she documented this. I did the regression on her. She had never been to Germany before, and possessed no intimate knowledge of medieval Germany or this woman. This was not a deja vu or cryptonesia, as it's called. This was an example of a previous life personality, because she was that woman on the portrait in a previous life. And that woman was trying to possess her temporarily during this visit. So another example of a pseudo-obsession. So this is an example of some of the fun things that that I deal with in my practice. Pseudo-obsessions aren't dangerous. I mean, it was annoying to Marcia, for example, but they are capable of being removed. You have to use specific techniques, and I do, of course, but they're not a permanent inhabitant. So people, when they say, oh, possession, you know, it's not permanent. If you treat them well and know what you're doing, and this is my field, most therapists around the world, the reason why I get so many patients from all over the world who come to see me is because psychic attacks are so common, they go to their local therapist, including a New Age or metaphysical one, mm-hmm. and they won't deal with them. They're afraid of being possessed by the entities or being affected themselves. And
do they get it, though? Do they understand it?
Well, they do. They're just being a little bit hypocritical by saying, look, if you understand the field and you call yourself a New Age practitioner, then man up, grow a pair, and work with these people. And they don't. So they come to me, because many of these are done by Skype, of course, and some do travel here. But the point is that if you really are in this field, you better be prepared and competent. And a lot of therapists in this field, too, are also having their own issues. They're under their own psychic attack, and they don't want to add any more. I don't rationalize that or agree with that. I think they should just get their act together before they start working with people in this field. So those are examples of sub-personalities. Now, let's talk about the spirit guides now. That's the last step in my six-step
okay.
plan for psychic self-defense.
And who are they in relationship to the individual?
Okay, spirit guides are very often people you've known in past lives. They're more spiritually evolved than you, so they can be your teacher. Okay, some of them you've never known. Spirit guides are a wide range. They are specialists. For example, if you have a medical condition, you're going to get a chemist guide. There are guides for abundance if you have financial problems. There are relationship guides. You see, there are all kinds of, and career guides too. There are all kinds of guides. They specialize. And once you evolve spiritually, then you get a new series of guides that affect you. So like you graduate, now you go on for a graduate degree kind of thing. All right, so let's say you're dealing with a high-level spirit guide. All right. This is not a person from the lower astral plane. This is a very highly spiritual entity. You're going to get a feeling of sincerity, simplicity, humility. You're left with a feeling that you're better off. Your spirit guide will be able to accurately perceive not only your future trends in your life, but also how you will respond to them. But they're not going to run your life or control you. You'll be stimulated to be stronger, empowered. I call this psychic empowerment. You can initiate your own healing powers within yourself. In other words, all the messages are positive, and you're left feeling very, very good. Now, if you're dealing with a lower astral entity, or as you would call it, the shadow people,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be dealing with the complete opposite. You're going to be dealing with develop a sense of alienation. This spirit, this negative entity, will try to have you accept its teachings blindly, like a cult leader. It will be impatient with you. It will use foul language. You will suddenly develop...
Is this like The Exorcist?
Yeah, except it doesn't have to be demonic. It just can be a medium-grade low astral, okay? You will develop medical and emotional problems which are not to your best interest. You'll be obsessed with material or personal gains, OCD behavior. Bad luck, which is really negative energy, would be characteristic of your life. You're going to feel uncomfortable, and sometimes you can observe, listen to this, a glittery red light in your eyes, or the eyes of someone close to you. You ever see that on Hollywood films? And TV?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's actually real. It's actually real. Just like the yellow skin in a Caucasian. And nightmares are a biggie here. Nightmares are something your soul giving you remnants of what happened in the lower astral plane during your night excursions or the REM cycle. Anytime they make statements about God, it will always be negative statements. And also the advice is given to ignore all other spirit guide contact except for them. Well, you know, that's what a cult leader does. It's the same thing. By the way, people who wear crucifixes that are upside down, keep away from them, folks. They're satanic.
Upside down.
That's the black masses. That's what the whole thing is. It's not an accident when somebody has an upside down cross. Trust me, never. And you'll see them over and over again. I can see somebody maybe having a problem, you know, with the wind blowing, or they got dressed in a hurry or something. I can understand that. But if you see them every time with an upside down crucifix, that's a no-no. That's a satanic worship.
All right.
Period. So these are things that Remember, this is going through all history. We've had this. We've always had the good guys and the bad guys, you know, shamans and tribes going back 50,000 BC. You always had the shaman who was a healer going out of the body to save lost souls. And then you have some guy who wasn't chosen. He didn't have the calling to be the shaman, so he developed black magic techniques. It all came from shamanism, actually. So some guy wanted the chief's daughter in his tent, you know, in his teepee, and didn't get it. So then he said, you know, he became a creep, and he decided to just play games and become a sexual predator, among other things, too. So so these are examples of psychic attack and how to separate the good from the bad ones. And now a question also people ask, they say, can a spirit guide assist you in healing? Now, I mentioned the various specialties, and the answer is yes, because I get a lot of requests about this. The chemist guides are the ones that will do that. If you have a problem with your physical body, now remember now, you're dealing with the higher self too. Your higher self comes from the God energy complex. That's why you can cure cancer, AIDS, or lupus, or other incurable diseases, which I was trained in my dental program as being medically impossible because you can't change the DNA. Well, guess what, folks? There are millions of cases of spontaneous cures of cancer. Okay, I've worked with them myself, as well as AIDS and lupus and other, quote, incurable diseases. So the only way you can do that is by dealing with the creative energy of your higher self or your superconscious mind. So never lose faith, folks. If you have whatever issues you have, there are very few things that you're just never going to be able to deal with, especially if they're more psychological or energy issues like depression, anxiety, and insecurities or things like that. Sexual impotency, you call that secondary, where you can physically perform, but you are the stress and the anxiety and the insecurities prevent a person from having normal sexual relations, men and women, by the way, not just men. So these are things that are all reversible. So never lose faith. Use the higher self. And here's an example. On my site, by the way, there are five exercises, and one of them is a psychic self-defense exercise. And it's one which is very simple, and it will allow you to simply use not just the white light protection. That's pretty standard, and it's kind of like, you know, an old one. But let me just give you a little quick summary of it. This is a technique that you would use by using meditation or some sort of hypnosis or self-hypnosis state or yoga, whatever you're doing, to give yourself an alpha level. You breathe deeply. Imagine your body is a honeycomb. You are so porous that any energy coming towards you will flow right through you without affecting you in any way. Keep your attention completely focused on this image. Now you visualize a trap behind this honeycomb. This receptacle traps any form of negative energy and immediately neutralizes it. Perceive all of your negative energy that you are exposed to passing through your aura without affecting you in any way. This negative energy is now trapped in the receptacle and is immediately neutralized. Now, if you do that in an alpha level, you'd be surprised how that works. Remember during that Ouija board show that I did a psychic self-defense exercise before we began? In fact, I wouldn't do the show without doing that because it would be unethical.
Right, even though we decided not to do the Ouija board show.
Right, but we did the exercise, and you'd be surprised the communication I got from your listeners because of that. I've had people that actually had spiritual breakthroughs by just that quick little exercise, which shows you the power of the subconscious mind and a person's ability to access their higher self, even on a quickie one-minute exercise that was done on the radio show. Your show, by the way.
The power of the mind. Bruce, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back, chat a little bit more about psychic attacks and also phone calls, questions, and stories. If you've been under psychic attack, share that story with us when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM with Dr. Bruce Goldberg.